Blog Talk Radio.
We are in the Before You Go Pro locker room, and I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood. And tonight, we have a very special show for you tonight. As always, we are trying to mentally, morally, and academically groom young football players for the task at hand, for the responsibilities that they face, trying to get to the next level. And tonight's show is right in line with what we're all about. We have Mr. Joe Jurassic, former strength and conditioning coach for the Dallas Cowboys. He's also been a strength and conditioning coach at some major universities, former Division I-A football player himself. So just a vast amount of experience and expertise for what you young kids want to know to help you get to the next level. For those who are listening to Before You Go Pro for the very first time, we are a company that is all about grooming football players from a mental, moral, and academic basis, kids between the ages of 13 through 19. And our locker room shows are a part of one of the tools that we use to do that. We have shows every Tuesday and Thursday night. If you didn't get to hear Tuesday's show with Mr. Lorenzo Veit, from Michael Johnson Performance. That's a show you definitely want to check out when you have a chance. You can go to our website, www.beforeyougopro.com, click on the little microphone at the bottom of the screen, and check out that archive show. So I believe we already have Coach Jurassic on the line with us, so let me patch him in and see if we can get him on the line. Coach Jurassic, are you with us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you perfect, Coach. And once again, we definitely we appreciate the time, and I know that you got a lot on your plate, and these kids definitely appreciate it.
Well, I like to share some of my knowledge. I'm not in coaching any longer, and I have a vast experience collegiately and professionally, and I can help in the transition. And if I can help one kid, then I feel like I'm having success.
Definitely. And I know that you've helped so many players, so many well-known players throughout your career, and we'll definitely get into that as well. But you're a special guest because you have not only coaching experience, but you also have playing experience. And I kind of want to get into that to start. You're originally from Chicago, Illinois. Is that where you started playing your little league football?
Well, I actually played flag football at the Chicago Park District, and I got integrated into football just by some friends of mine that were pretty good athletes. I consider myself the worst athlete in my neighborhood, but I was gifted and blessed to get out of there.
I hear you on that, Coach. And was it a natural love for football, or did it take time to grow on you?
Yeah, I was presented. No one graduated high school in my family, so I was presented with the fact that I couldn't go. A young guy on our block, Tommy Walsh, earned a scholarship. I was about 8 years old. He taught me what a scholarship was all about, excelling in school in a specific sport. it gave me an avenue and a vehicle to get out of the situation of a blue-collar lifestyle.
So from a young age, you already saw football as an opportunity to get you to a better life.
It started in sports, Little League baseball and basketball. Football was more organized, and I didn't get involved in that until I was in the high school years.
Gotcha, Coach. And what high school, for everybody listening, what high school did you end up attending?
I went to Luther South High School on the south side. My grandmother actually put me in a parochial school to get a better education and give me a chance further in life.
And so your grandmother is somebody that was really looking out for you and maybe somewhat of a mentor for you?
Exactly. I was from a broken situation, not much of a centered family life. No one was involved in athletics, and when I chose to use that vehicle, I was actually looked down upon.
Wow, that's interesting, and I appreciate you sharing that with us because, you never know what somebody's going through with their household, and we have so many kids who listen to the show, so that may be hitting home for somebody. And it's great that you had your grandmother in your corner. Did you play multiple sports once you got into high school?
I did, but actually even then it was in the mid-70s. It came a point where I was into lifting weights, and I was doing that. A friend of mine, he lives out there on the West Coast, Archie Curran, was an outstanding football player from our high school, played collegiately at Ball State. He's a successful businessman in California now. And we got into training, and he laughed at the fact that my career took me this way because he said, Joe, even back when we were growing up, that's what you did for us. You set up the programs and utilized the programs. And I just tried to search out my knowledge. I try and impress on the young guys I talk to and girls, women, that want to get into coaching. It's so available now with the Internet and the media that you can get information on training. Back in the 70s, we'd have to search out information on what was going on.
Well, and I was just about to touch upon that because you were definitely on the forefront of things if you were lifting at that age.
What happened is we were growing up, I expressed to Ashley that we used to watch the Lombardi Way, and I expressed we watched your grandfather, I guess, Willie Wood.
Yeah, that's my grandpa.
And I used to watch him. He did an exercise on television, not on the normal channels. It was on the PBS and the extension channels in Chicago, and a friend of mine, Frank Gonzalez, and I would watch the Lombardi Way. And we watched Willie Wood doing an upright row, and I thought that was a great exercise. And that's still a foundation exercise I utilize in my programs as a strength coach and now as I help young kids.
Definitely. That's a great exercise, explosion and everything. And wow, that's an interesting story. I appreciate you sharing that with us. And I'm sure my grandfather would appreciate that too. And so from a very young age, you were already, to a certain extent, coaching. Did you always know that was something that you would eventually want to get into?
You know, I didn't, but a lot of the people in the neighborhood, we set up a weight room in my basement, set up some free weights and makeshift pulleys and things that we all knew we didn't have the talent that some other kids had, but we figured if we trained hard and conditioned ourselves, it would give us an edge.
And did you guys see that edge on the field, Coach?
I think we did. You know, the biggest part of training is applying what you do. So early on, we weren't sure about how to apply that to movement, and we had more hits and misses, but we learned from experience, and I think eventually it showed its place because several of us earned college scholarships.
And get into that a little bit for me, Coach. A kid from Chicago going all the way to small New Mexico. How did you end up in New Mexico, Coach?
I got recruited by some of the mid-level schools. You know, I wanted to play at Notre Dame or Ohio State or Michigan. Those were the great productive schools for football when we were growing up, but I wasn't talented enough. And eventually a man named Larry Corpus was a Chicago product, played there at the University of New Mexico and recruited me. And as soon as I went out there, a man named Pete Martinelli was one of the initial five members of the NSCA that started the Strength and Conditioning Association. And back in 1975, it was one of the few organized strength and conditioning programs in the country. And I knew if I was to be part of that and utilize his knowledge and experience, I could enhance my production on the field and take my talents to a whole nother level.
Did you see that you were maybe a step ahead of the other kids up at New Mexico because you had already been lifting weights?
You know, they had an advantage because Pete had already integrated the program there before I got there. So all
gotcha.
The players at UNM, all the players at UNM utilized the program, and I actually was a step behind. I had a year to catch up, and I redshirted for a year to do that.
When you were playing at Luther South, Coach, what was it that kind of made the light bulb come on that I could play in college? Was it a particular play, or was it one of your coaches saying, hey, we're going to get some attention for you? When did it dawn on you that you could play Division I-A football?
What happened is I was a sophomore, and I started on the varsity, which was a big deal. And several of the older guys in front of me earned scholarships. So I felt like if I could compete and play with them at football at that level, that I could possibly earn a scholarship and get myself an education that way.
Did the academics come natural for you, Coach, or did you have to work pretty hard to keep your grades up?
I worked hard at it, but the situation occurred when my grandmother sent me to a parochial school. Education was one of the foundation pieces. And that helped me through my education process because I was taught by great coaches and teachers there, and I carried that through the rest of my education process.
Gotcha. And for those just joining us, we have a fabulous guest tonight. We have Mr. Joe Jurassic, former strength and conditioning coach with the Dallas Cowboys, University of Oklahoma, and Texas Tech, former Division I-A football player. We do have a call-in number, and Coach is willing to take calls. If you guys want to ask him some questions, the number is 310-807-5195. And once again, appreciate your time, Coach. So talk to us a little bit about your plan at New Mexico, and the career is winding down. Did you want to take a shot at the NFL, or did you want to go right into coaching? Did you already know what direction you wanted to go in?
Well, I was a marginal player, and I went through several different positions. I was a team guy, and they knew with my ability in the weight room and Pete's tutelage that I could gain weight, so I played several different positions. After my fourth year, we changed head coaches. Joe Morrison came in, former great NFL coach. He gave me an opportunity as a fifth-year senior to become part of the program. I earned a spot on the team. I was captain of a group. We are a group of overachievers. We achieved a lot more than we were set out to do. We opened the season in 1980 by beating BYU and Jim McMahon's group, which was a big upset. And then after the season ended, I obviously thought I could play. I had the ability to long snap, and I wanted to try as a free agent. And I did that. I exhausted that. And I had opportunities to go with Coach Morrison and the staff to South Carolina as a football graduate assistant. And then Pete Martinelli offered me the opportunity to come to Norman, Oklahoma, and start a program at the University of Oklahoma and work on my postgraduate degree.
So you were already, by the time you were ending your New Mexico career, kind of keeping options open for opportunities.
Sure. I think you always need to understand that. One thing I express to all my players, the success you have on the field as a college athlete, you might not go pro, but you take your experience, you take your work ethic and the time you put in, and you parlay that into your next opportunities.
Do you think players do enough of that today, or do you think kids could stand to keep their eyes open for more opportunities?
You know, I think years ago I learned that here at the University of Oklahoma, we had players that wanted to play professional football, and it was more of a viable option. But they learned that if those things didn't work out, getting that degree was a tool that would carry you for the rest of your life. And I always taught that the characteristics that made you successful on the football field are the same characteristics you could use off the field and create success that way.
Do you think there's anything universities could do, Coach, that would help kids be better prepared for life after football?
I think it's evolved to a point where the NCAA and universities, with the academic programs they have now and the stringent rules on progression in the classroom, have done an outstanding job of helping the athletes to enhance themselves when they're done playing football and utilize their education to move on and be successful in life.
Great stuff. And going into your actual career and profession as a strength coach, you ended up going from Texas Tech to OU. You were a part of a few good teams over there at OU. Did you know that you wanted to go to the NFL level, or were you initially thinking you would just stay in college?
You know, I enjoyed the collegiate level. A lot of people, administrators and coaches, it was dabbled in front of me to coach professionally. They thought I was a great success with mentoring the kids as student athletes, not just as athletes, and that I should stay at the collegiate level. But it always presented itself to me that it was something I'd like to challenge if I could coach professional football players.
And when you got up to Dallas, that was in 1997. I mean, that was a star-studded team. And how is that as coming from a college to the NFL, where there's already established NFL veterans? Did you feel like things would go over well right away, or did you know that you would have to kind of work to get in good with the team?
Well, they had won a series, and they won 3 Super Bowls prior to me getting there, so I wasn't going to teach them anything. I've always gone into the situation with respect for them as people, as well as athletes. I was there to learn from them, learn their successes, what they succeeded with and what worked for them, and then maybe I could integrate slowly into the program things I could help enhance them. So it didn't happen overnight. It's a growing process, just like any endeavor.
And, Coach, I mean, you have an overwhelming response from a lot of your former players that you've coached as far as really liking you and feeling like you've helped their career from a strength and conditioning standpoint. What do you think it was that won the guys over with you? What did you do to get in good with the team?
You know, I shy away from like, Terrence. I try and explain to my kids that people aren't going to like you throughout your life, but I believe that if they respected me and I respected them, we developed a circle of confidence. And I think that's where my reputation stands and where I set the groundwork to have relationships beyond strength and conditioning, also as people with the guys I had the privilege to work with.
How big of a difference do you feel like it is for a kid jumping from college? You know, we're about to have an NFL draft here in 2 weeks, Coach. And how big of a difference from a strength and conditioning standpoint do you think it is from college to the pro game?
Well, there's a level of play that happens. And the way I explained it, if a kid was coming from high school to college, or if he was trying from collegiate level to the professional level, I'd say think about the best player you played against at this level. And every day is going to have to be at that level for you to succeed in the next progression.
That's a good one, Coach. Did you see a lot of guys in your time up at Dallas that maybe had the big-time talent but just didn't have the work ethic behind it?
I try and explain, especially working with my kids nowadays, that potential is really a cuss word. If you have the abilities and you don't utilize them, that's a sin. And I think when you get the players with the outstanding talent and they have a great work ethic. That's when you get your great Hall of Fame players. And they're not individualistic. They're team guys. They understand they take their abilities, and it takes the rest of the team to gel together to create successes as a team.
Who are some of the guys that stick out in your mind, Coach, during your time with Dallas that you would just say, hey, man, these are professionals, they're workout warriors, and they bring their lunch pail every day?
I mean, you could almost go back and look at the superstars that played there, Troy Aikman, Daryl Johnson, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. Darren Woodson sticks out in my mind. He was one of the outstanding. There's so many. I hate to actually name players because I'm going to somehow miss somebody that was that way. People in the off season would always ask, who's your best worker? And I shied away from naming someone because I would be insulting to someone else, not mentioning them.
I got you. Talk to me a little bit, Coach, about the relationship between strength coach and position coach and head coach. Are you guys working simultaneously? Do they come to you to ask you about players' work ethic, and do you relay information to them?
You know, throughout my career, I've had great relationships with position coaches and head coaches, and I think what they understand is the fact that I got to see the players I'd say I use the term with their pants down. Those players are going to act a certain way around the head coach or their position coaches, around athletic directors and owners, and we get to see their conditions. I use these four characteristics to be successful at any endeavor. One is consistency. Two is intensity. If you're consistent, you need to work hard and then use proper technique and do it properly. It takes patience because it just doesn't happen overnight. And the final part of those characteristics is finish. You need to utilize those characteristics and finish and win and succeed and reach your ultimate goals.
I love it, Coach. As far as the off season, because right now we're in the off season with a lot of these kids, and, you know, some of them play other sports like baseball or track, but nowadays, and I'm sure you know this, even at the high school level, it's like a year-round thing with football. How big do you think an off-season plays into a kid's production during the season?
Well, Terrence, you're going to ask a strength and conditioning coach that, and I did it for over 30 years, and I was just relating to one of my colleagues at Tampa Bay about how the off-season sets the tone for your success on the field. Your attitude, your approach to work, and trying to maintain those four characteristics I talk about are displayed daily, weekly, and monthly, and carries over to what you do on the field when you get to two-a-days.
Some of the guys you've worked with for years, Coach, I mean, the Tony Romos of the world, the Jason Wittens, even some of the more obscure fringe players, could you tell in the off season, if a guy was primed to maybe have a breakout year or a big season in the fall?
You know, I'd have ideas where I'd see their work habits change. I'd see them making transitions physically, gaining strength, increasing their flexibility, conditioning at a more intense level. And I think they took those characteristics they developed in the off season, put them to the field, and combined those together to make them work. I saw a lot of guys improve and couldn't take it to the field. And then I also saw guys have weak off seasons and become outstanding football players during the season. So you couldn't pinpoint it, but it sure gave you a decent indication if someone was going to take it to the next level.
I got you, Coach. Now, from what I've been reading up on you, it seems like the guys that you were working with really liked a point system that you had in place to mark them when they're doing max testing and different things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about your point system, Coach?
You know, trying to explain to players, and as strength and conditioning's evolved, we've learned more and more how recovery is just as important as hard work. And what I would try and is give them an objective number to where the fact is, if they had 100 points when we started the workout week, I'd like to take 35 points on Monday. I'd like to take 25 points on Tuesday. Wednesday would be a specialty recovery day, kind of a D-train day, and I have 40 points left. I would try and take 25 points on Thursday and 15 points on Friday. I actually had a guy use this against me. Nate Newton would come in on Thursday and say, Coach, I think I got about 10 points left. I don't know how much I got left for you.
Yeah, Big Nate. And I know you had Larry Allen up there, too, just recently inducted into the Hall of Fame. So you've had some superstars up there.
Like I said, it was a privilege for me to be around those characters. And the biggest thing, my first week in Dallas, I utilized some of the programs and footwork routines we did at the collegiate level. And after my first week, I called my colleagues back in Norman and said, hey, fellas, I finally saw how those drills are actually supposed to be run.
You said all those years that I was looking at those plays, I finally saw what it's supposed to look like, huh?
Exactly. You know, when I worked with great, talented athletes that I had the privilege to be with at the NFL level, I got to see some things that were unbelievable. And I could talk about big men being strong. I could talk about lean athletes. I had a guy named Kevin Smith, who was an outstanding defensive back from Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He was the leanest
number 24.
Athlete.
Number
24. Pardon?
Number 24.
Yes, and he was such a phenomenal athlete. He would scare me with the weight on the bar. And then you mentioned the great Larry Allen, and we had the big film where he did 705 on the bench press. There are many film clips where Larry Allen was chasing defensive backs down at the NFL level on interceptions. Now, to me, that's more phenomenal than the guy benching 705 pounds.
That is amazing. Talk to me a little bit, because I'm going through all the guys, and you were up there. Did you just miss Deion Sanders?
Oh, yeah. Deion was part of the group that was brought in there, and Deion was kind of like Herschel Walker in the fact that they didn't want you to know they worked out. It was intriguing to me because some of the players, when I first got there, acted like they didn't train and didn't work hard. But you know, somewhere along the line, you know, Herschel did push-ups and sit-ups and the things we always saw him do out of his great career in Georgia and throughout the NFL. But then I saw him grab dumbbells one day, and he's grabbing 95-pound dumbbells and pressing them like air. I said, Herschel, you got it lifted weights before somewhere. You just didn't do push-ups. And he kind of just winked at me. And Deion would do the same when he'd come in and do some weightlifting. I said, Deion, this isn't your first time doing this stuff. And they would wink and laugh at me. It was almost like a challenge amongst the teammates where they just wanted to do their work on their own and keep it somewhat of a secret to the other guys.
Well, you know, those super competitors, they're always looking for an edge or trying to hold a secret in their back pocket. I heard Jerry Rice was the same way. So that's funny. Great story, Coach. What do you talk about? We've got maybe about five more minutes here, and I definitely wanted your opinion on this. A lot of the guys are getting in trouble off the field, and they're even talking about making off-season programs longer to curb some of the guys' entertainment appetite. What is your feeling on that? Do you think they should make the off-season programs longer, or do you think they should try other things to keep these guys on the straight and narrow?
You know, I agree with the old adage and cliche that the idle hands and idle time is the devil's workshop. But the problem now comes is that the NCAA as well as the NFL have shortened the time of organized training for strength and conditioning. It puts the strength and conditioning coaches in a bind. They don't have the time they have to utilize before. I understand in some situations they abused this time where there was too much football going on and not enough strength and conditioning. And I think the NCAA has done a great job of monitoring that and limiting time, which helps the kids in the classroom. But I think once it has to be impressed in their head that the simple fact is you can be successful for 10 or 15 or 20 years, and then you could make one mistake, and the way social media is and the media, electronic media is now, you can ruin all that great work in one bad choice.
That is so true, Coach, and it's definitely a different time now than and thank the Lord, because I probably couldn't have made it. Some of the things that, you know, throughout college and playing pro ball that I've done with today's times, and the kids need to be aware of that. So I'm glad you said that. Looking at kind of where guys are financially, where almost, you know, 80% of these guys, 7 out of 10, are financially broke 2 to 3 years after their career. Do you think there's anything the NFL can do as far as that goes to get guys more financially literate?
You know, I've watched programs improve, and the time I was at Dallas, we had player programs people. There was a guy named Steve Karakoff did an outstanding job with our guys as far as mentoring them. They had classroom work. They had programs to get their degrees, trying to make the right choices. We always had people come in and guest speakers. So the NFL and NCAA are aware of it. I think they go to the extreme ends to try and educate the athletes on that. But once again, once they leave the locker room and they go onto the streets or they go on to their home life, those choices have to be made by them, and it's responsibility. It goes back to choices, decisions, and consequences, and you need to make sure that you learn to make the proper decisions, because you have to pay for the consequences of that decision.
Great stuff, Coach. And we'll kind of end off tonight, and we appreciate your time once again so much. But I'll end off with a twofold question. As a player and as a coach, if you were to talk to a young coach, Joe Jurassic, that is about to become a Division I-A player, and a young coach, Joe Jurassic, that's about to become a strength coach, what would you say to those two guys that maybe you know now that you didn't know then?
It goes back to over the time that I learned, and it's those characteristics I mentioned earlier, Terrence. You need to be consistent. If you're a coach, you need to be consistent as a coach, and you want your players to be consistent. If you're a player, your coaches are looking for consistency. That's mentally, physically, in the classroom, out of the field, on the streets, making the right decisions. When you're consistent, you need to be intense. Intense meaning that you work hard at it and use proper technique and decisions. Trying to achieve goals, you need to maintain patience as you work toward your goals. And as you get closer to achieving those goals, you need to finish, cross the T's and dot the I's, and reap the rewards of your hard work.
Well, fabulous job, Coach. I mean, amazing, amazing stuff. You are definitely a master of your craft when it comes to strength and conditioning. You have so much expertise, and we appreciate you sharing that with us tonight.
Well, like I said earlier, if we can have a positive effect on one individual making the right decisions and doing the right things, utilizing their God-given talent and their love for the game, then we've been a success, Terrence.
I hear you 100%, Coach. And once again, thank you so much for your time. You can get back to that function at the University of Oklahoma. You have a great night, Coach. And we'll be talking to you again. You got an open invitation, okay?
I appreciate it. It's been a privilege. Just like the players I coach, it's been a privilege to share some knowledge.
All right. You have a great evening. So there you guys have it. The great Coach Joe Jurassic. He's not coaching right now, but I'm sure he'll be back in the game soon. He spent over 12 years with the Dallas Cowboys, also a strength and conditioning coach with the University of Oklahoma and Texas Tech, former Division I-A football player at the University of New Mexico. Great guy. He's worked with so many great people throughout the years and just athletes. I mean, the names and the list is daunting. Hall of Famers, Coach Joe, has gotten the most out of. And he gave us some great food for thought tonight. Hopefully you young players were listening to him. You got something out of tonight that's going to give you some energy for your journey. Listen to us next Tuesday. We're going to have another great show in the Before You Go Pro locker room. If you want more content, go to www.beforeyougopro.com. Obviously, if you have not read the book, you definitely need to pick up the book. It's just more hard-hitting facts, hard-hitting information that is going to give you an edge up as a player, parent, coach, in the football industry. For the Before You Go Pro team and for our Executive Director of Content, Ashley Goodman, I'm Terrence Wood, and we are out of here. We'll see you at the top.